Bible reading is from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 7, and reading from verse 36 to verse 50. So Luke chapter 7, reading from verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
We've come this evening in our series of the stories told by our Lord Jesus to Luke chapter 7 and to verses 36 to 50. And the key point about our story tonight is that forgiveness of sins utterly transforms the lives of those that are forgiven. You can never be the same once you are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is turned upside down by coming to know the Saviour. And when we come to know the Saviour, and when we come to know that our sins are gloriously and wonderfully forgiven, we cannot but display devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to say to him, "Lord Jesus, I love you. I know you are mine." And as we open up, therefore, this passage of Scripture this evening, I want to begin by looking at the hard, unforgiven heart of Simon the Pharisee. You will see our passage starts in verse 36 with a dinner invitation. Jesus is invited to the home of Simon a Pharisee. We know his name because you'll see it given by Jesus in verse 40. Now, in some ways, it was an unusual invitation. The Pharisees were not keen on Jesus. Indeed, that may be a bit of an understatement. They were exceedingly not keen on Jesus. The Pharisees saw Jesus as a threat. Jesus was popular with the people, whereas the Pharisees were not liked. They were not liked because they were legalistic and because they were always critical of the people. And then there was the big issue of Jesus claiming to be the Son of God. This made him the promised Messiah. And Jesus just did not fit into the idea that the Pharisees had of who the Messiah should be. Jesus mixed with tax collectors and sinners and surrounded himself with ordinary people who he made his disciples. Jesus didn't ask the Pharisees to be his disciples. Jesus didn't submit to these religious leaders. He didn't seek their advice. And so this gulf of hostility was building between Jesus and the Pharisees. A gulf of hostility that eventually led to the Pharisees setting Jesus up to be crucified. And then there was the fear that Jesus might upset the Romans. Whilst the Pharisees were not keen on the Roman occupation, they were left alone to lead the religious life of the people, and they feared that Jesus might inspire some revolution and that their authority in society and their favour with the Romans might be lost. In other words, if you sum it all up, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, Jesus was a troublemaker. He was one who was making outrageous claims, from their point of view, to be the Son of God. We see this earlier in Luke chapter 5 and verse 21, where the Pharisees were saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" So the dinner invitation that we have here in verse 36 was a little strange. Was Simon the Pharisee genuinely wanting to understand more about Jesus? Well, maybe. Verse 39 indicates that Simon thought Jesus might be a prophet. Did he want to test out that idea? Or was he inviting Jesus to dinner to set him up? Was he inviting him to dinner to trap Jesus, to gain some information from Jesus that might enable him to share it with his colleagues, so ultimately to lead to Jesus being arrested? Well, the passage does not give us the exact reason for the invitation, so we can't be too sure. But what we do know is that the invitation was accepted. And Jesus will use this meal as an opportunity to set forth the gospel to Simon and to all those at the meal. Here is Jesus, the evangelist. Here is Jesus going to confront Simon's hard heart with the truth of the gospel and of the call to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we jump into that, when Jesus was invited to this meal, there was no dining room table as we would know it. They would sit around on a low table and they would take their feet off their shoes off their feet, and they would be lying toward the table with their feet behind them. And it was quite normal to take a long time over this sort of meal and to have quite a discussion about it. I found on the internet one picture there that just shows the way in which it was normal to gather around this low table and for the feet to be outstretched behind them. And I think it's just helpful to see that, to just to understand what happens in this particular story. It was also a very hot country. A number of you have been out there and visited. It's a hot land. And it was normal when you had these social dinner events for the door to remain open, and it was quite socially acceptable for people to come in and to sit around the outside of the room. They wouldn't join in the meal, but they would sit around the outside of the meal and they would listen in to the discussion which was taking place at this dinner party. Remember, this was an age without social media, and so this type of open meal time was very much their social Facebook page. It was the place to discuss a whole range of issues. It was public, it was open. And that accounts for how this woman was able to come in, uninvited, as it were, to this particular room. And so this woman comes in, she's a known sinful woman, and she sits at the feet of Jesus. You read about that in verses 37, 38. And Jesus lets her wash his feet with her tears, wipe them with her hair, and then anoint them with expensive perfume. And Jesus accepts it all calmly. Jesus took no offense. He understood perfectly what the woman meant by her act, and he knew exactly what her character had been. But in the mind of Simon, this was guilt by association. Jesus made no comment about the woman's character, made no attempt to stop her action. In Simon's mind, this is utterly incompatible with Jesus being a prophet. He thought he might be a prophet. He gave the dinner invitation. He wanted to see this man, Jesus, and to see what he might do. And now he has this opportunity of seeing Jesus not rejecting this known, sinful, awful woman. Surely Jesus is guilty by association as far as Simon is concerned. And so Jesus has made his decision about Jesus. No holy man would let a thing like this happen. No man from God would let such a thing as this take place. Jesus is false. The whole thing is false. But this story shows us that Jesus turns the whole thing on its head and reveals to Simon that he is actually the false one. Simon, who claims to be religious. Simon, who claims as a Pharisee to love God. Simon, who claims to walk in the ways of God and to keep the laws of God. He is the false one. For Simon has a hard and unforgiven heart. If Simon had known anything of personal forgiveness of sins, he would have shown some devotion to Jesus. He would have shown some appreciation of Jesus had he known a personal relationship with Jesus. But in fact, he has shown little respect to Jesus. He had invited him to dinner, but he had not given Jesus any water to wash his feet. Something that Simon should have facilitated. And Jesus points this out to Simon in verse 44. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet." And normally a host would welcome his guests with a kiss, much as we offer people a hug or a handshake when we greet them. But Simon did not greet Jesus, and he didn't give Jesus a kiss, and he displayed no respect for Jesus and no devotion to Jesus. But at this dinner table, Simon receives the most powerful demonstration that Jesus can and does forgive people their sins, even when those sins are many. Even when those sins are known about publicly. The sinful woman who came into the meal left it with a public acknowledgement from Jesus that her sins were all forgiven and she could go in peace. If you jump right down to the end of the story, verse 50, those lovely words, he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Whereas Simon left the dinner table with a hard and an unrepentant heart. As far as we know from Scripture, he was not converted. His heart remained opposed to Jesus. He had no devotion to show to Jesus. He couldn't even provide proper hospitality. He had nothing to give to Jesus. No respect, not even common respect, not even normal courtesy that you would offer to someone that you've invited to a dinner party. He didn't even give that to Jesus. His judgmental heart was there ready to reject Jesus as a prophet, and certainly Jesus as the Son of God, and certainly a Jesus who could forgive sins. His heart would show no desire for forgiveness from Jesus. You see, seeing what Jesus had done to this known and sinful woman, and seeing how Jesus had forgiven her sins, surely you would expect Simon to say, "I need that too. Is there mercy for me, Jesus?" His cry should have been, "Saviour, forgive me too. Saviour, show mercy to me." But Simon, he will have none of it. He's made up his mind about Jesus, and his hard heart remains, and his sins remain unforgiven. Simon was shown the way of salvation. He was told the way of salvation from the lips of Jesus himself. He was told by Jesus that sins are forgiven by the Saviour. But his hard heart rejects it. And this prompts us to ask the question, how do we view Jesus? What would we have done at that dinner table? Do we harden our heart? Do we just attend church? Just invite Jesus, as it were, to dinner, but do not believe in him, do not believe who he is, do not seek forgiveness of our sins? Do you find yourself unable this evening to show sacrificial devotion to Jesus because you do not know Jesus as the forgiver of your personal sin? And if we are a Christian tonight, we must ask, have we grown cold with the passing of years? Have we developed a hard heart? Would we actually have been saying, if we were there in that room, "Surely not that woman"? How would we have reacted? And how do we now react to the Jesus who has forgiven our sins, and to the Jesus who has said to us, "Go in peace"? So let's turn to our second point from this story, the heartfelt devotion of this unnamed woman. What a remarkable contrast to Simon is the woman. I'm afraid we have to call her the woman, because unfortunately Luke doesn't actually name her. And by the way, this story is unique to Luke's gospel. Don't confuse this with a story in the other gospels that speaks about an anointing of Jesus with oil by a woman. This is an entirely different event taking place in an entirely different location. It is unique to Luke and mustn't be confused with the accounts in the other Gospels. Now, Luke makes it clear in verse 37 that this woman was well known. The city or town knew this woman to be a sinner. Often a reference such as that is to a prostitute. But we can't be sure that she was that. Maybe she was morally sinful, or maybe she was just known for her crimes. Whatever she had done, it seems that everyone knew she was a sinner. She was a very public sinner. Simon knew who she was, and he knew her reputation. And so it was Simon's judgment that anyone who was a holy man or a prophet would keep his distance from a woman such as this. Now, normally, in fact, a Pharisee such as Simon would have thrown her out of his house. He would not want to associate with her in any way whatsoever. He would feel that even her presence would make him unclean. So, unusually, Simon makes no attempt to throw her out of his house. He is deliberately waiting to see what Jesus will do. Oh, he knows what Jesus should do. He's made up his mind about the whole thing already. Jesus should condemn her. Jesus should make a public example of her. And Jesus should most certainly keep his distance from her. But to the utter dismay, and it's hard to try and really draw this fully out, it was utter dismay, utter horror to Simon that he lets this known woman sit at his feet. Well, if that was an absolute horror to Simon, what came next shook Simon to the very core. For the woman, overwhelmed with emotion, weeps. It's not just a little tear that runs down her cheek. No, it's a torrent of tears. Martin Luther calls her tears heart tears. Tears that come out of her very heart, out of the depth of her being. She's overwhelmed with devotion. Have you ever washed anyone's feet with tears? It's an interesting question because, you see, this wasn't something that would have just happened in a few seconds. This must have taken 2-3 minutes. And her tears were, as Martin Luther has put it, must have been heart tears. It must have been a flood of tears. Sufficient to give her the liquid to wash the feet of Jesus. And so if this is going on for 2 or 3 minutes, Simon is there thinking, this is awful, this is terrible. Surely Jesus will put a stop to this. He can't let this go on, can he? She's a known, vile, filthy, corrupt, polluted sinner. Someone you cross the road so you don't have to speak to. Oh, this is just so terrible to Simon. And then Jesus is letting the woman unloose her hair. Now, we're not quite of that culture. And so we read that and we don't really fully grasp the significance of it. But in those days and in that culture, a woman didn't let her hair down in public. You just didn't do it. It was totally unacceptable. It was culturally a no-go area. You just didn't let your hair down. So this woman, not only has she washed the feet of the Saviour with her tears, she's unloosed her hair and Jesus is saying nothing about it. Simon can't get his head round this. A known sinner letting her hair down in a Pharisee's house, and this Jesus isn't condemning her? This Jesus isn't pulling his feet away? He's not showing by his body actions that he's uncomfortable with what she's doing? Indeed, Jesus is accepting her devotion. He's accepting her adoration. And Jesus is thinking, verse 39, he's letting this woman touch him. You look at verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner." This Jesus, he can't forgive people their sins, surely. He can't even keep his distance from socially unacceptable people. And then Jesus accepts his feet being kissed. You see, this dear woman is so grateful for all that Jesus has already done for her. She humbly kisses his feet. She can't kiss him in the normal way. They're all there at the meal table, as we saw on the picture earlier. There was no room. It's only the feet of Jesus that she can reach. And so she gladly and reverently and with great devotion kisses his feet. The Greek word which is used for this act is the same as we find in Luke 15 and verse 20. In Luke 15 and verse 20, it's where the father in the story of the prodigal son runs and falls on the neck of that son who had been into the far-off country, wasted all his father's money, polluted himself and corrupted himself terribly, but he has come back home, and the father runs out to meet him and flings himself upon him and embraces him. That's the word here. This woman, says Luke in the word that he uses, is showing this great, great devotion and thankfulness to the Lord Jesus. Well, surely, thinks Simon, Jesus will put a stop to this. But no, she is now pouring oil over his feet, and it's fragrant oil, verse 47. This is not cheap oil from the market store. This is not your cheap eBay stuff. This is from the best shop in town. It's an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. It costs a huge amount. The smell of it would have filled the whole room. Why does she show such devotion? And why does Jesus accept it? Well, verse 47 tells us her sins, and Jesus acknowledges that they're many, are forgiven. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. You see, it's important that we grasp here that when this woman came into this room, she came in as a Christian. She came in as a forgiven woman. Her sins had already been forgiven, and that's why she wanted now to show such devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Had she already met Jesus in the town? I don't know. Had she simply heard Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God? We're not told. We don't know that detail. But what we do know is that she had come to know forgiveness of her sins. And overwhelmed with gratitude and devotion, she comes, washes the feet of Jesus with tears, wipes his feet with her hair, and pours the most expensive fragrant oil over his feet, having kissed them. She is publicly declaring her devotion for Jesus. And Jesus accepts the outpouring of her heart and her sacrificial gift. Greatly forgiven, she declares in a most moving way her devotion. Do we know anything of this kind of devotion to the Saviour who has forgiven us? Were we not dead in our trespasses and sins? Were we not great sinners? maybe not publicly known as a sinner, but we were known in heaven and by all the perfect angels as guilty, lost, vile, and polluted. The angels knew that we were a breaker of God's holy law. The angels knew that we were set upon a life of rebellion to God's holy ways. The angels saw us as we really were, lost. You see, in reality, was there any difference from heaven's point of view between this woman and you and me? Alongside of this woman, are we not all guilty before a holy God? And like her, we've been forgiven. Like her, we've been set free. We've been made to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been brought to a most wonderful table, the table of salvation. And we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We are citizens of heaven right alongside this woman. Does the similarity end there, though? How much devotion do we show to Jesus? When do we fall at his feet? When do we cry tears of joy and devotion? When do we bring all that we have and pour it before the feet of Jesus? When do we publicly and unashamedly declare our love for the Lord Jesus Christ? What a woman. What devotion. And then we have the helpful story that Jesus tells. Because Jesus knows what Simon's thinking. He knows Simon's finding it offensive. He knows that Simon is struggling with this devotion that Jesus has accepted from this sinful woman. And so Jesus tells Simon and all of those in the room a short story. It's just verses 41 and 42. Two people are in debt. One owes 500 denarii, the other 50. That equates to about 2 years of an average wage for the one and about 2 months' average wage for the other. But neither of them could pay. Both faced ruin. However, the creditor simply forgave both of them the debt, removed it completely. Neither of them had anything to pay. And so Jesus asked Simon, which of them love him more? And Simon has to acknowledge in verse 43 that it's the one who was most in debt, to which Jesus replies, verse 43, you have rightly judged. It is clear that Jesus is referring to the woman who had a great and publicly known debt of sin. And now that it has been forgiven by the Saviour, she's full of gratitude and expresses her devotion to Jesus by her actions. This is gospel preaching, almost gospel preaching at its very best. Jesus is showing Simon that he has power. Power to forgive sins. Power to forgive sins of people who are known as public, vile, corrupt, polluted, and filthy. Jesus is saying so powerfully and so graphically to Simon and all those in the room, I have the power to forgive sins. See what I've done for this woman. I can deliver people from guilt. I can deliver from bondage that sin brings. Jesus is saying so powerfully to Simon, I can work in tormented human souls, and I can bring them to a sense of deep peace and an assurance that all is well, and they can go out from my presence in utter peace. They can go in peace. They can come with anything but peace, but they can go with peace. Perfect peace in this dark world of sin. Jesus is saying here to Simon so powerfully, I can blot out the past, and from heaven's point of view, it will be remembered no more. Paul so helpfully brought that to us this morning in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Sin forgotten, God chooses not to remember. Oh, Simon, what a powerful gospel message is being preached to you by the Lord Jesus. But his hard heart walks away. Jesus had reached out to Simon. Simon was left in no doubt that Jesus had forgiven the woman her sins. He says this plainly in verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She had been forgiven before she came to the dinner party, but now everyone in the room is in no doubt. Jesus says it plainly to them all. Her many sins are forgiven. Simon has before his eyes the evidence of the power of Jesus to forgive sinners. Yes, even Simon could be forgiven. For as everyone at the dinner party began to realize, Jesus was able to forgive sins, and they asked one another, verse 49, who is this who even forgives sins? But Simon didn't ask for forgiveness. He saw what Jesus could do for other people. But he didn't come to the Savior himself. For him there was no peace with a holy and a righteous God. Whereas the woman heard the wonderful words from the Savior's lips, verse 50, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She can leave the Savior with peace in her heart. She has come to know the Savior of the new covenant. We looked at that this morning, didn't we, in Hebrews 8. This is a covenant of mercy. One that spells out that sins are not only forgiven, they're forgotten. No wonder she can go in peace. And as Christians, we have been brought under this new covenant. And we have been given faith, just as this woman was given faith. And we have been greatly forgiven. And so, like this woman, we can go from this meeting tonight in peace. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding. What a miracle. What a great work God has done in our hearts. But do we show the devotion that this woman showed? She poured out her heart before the Savior. She gave him the fragrant oil as an outward act of a heart filled with love, a heart that was overflowing because all her sins were forgiven. What devotion she showed. Her forgiveness is shown by her great love for Jesus. The intensity of her love reveals the intensity of the spiritual experience she had undergone deep in her soul. Hasn't the same transformation taken place in us? So shouldn't we show the same devotion? Or has our love grown cold with the passing of years? Remember, as Jesus said of the church at Ephesus, your love has grown cold. We can reaffirm to Jesus our love for him. We can reaffirm again our gratitude for all that he has done for us at such great cost. For truly, he shed his blood. He gave his body to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He truly gave himself for us. And he said to us in the most wonderful miracle of grace, your sins are forgiven you. go in peace. The psalmist says, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Forgiveness leads to devotion. Oh, how we love him.